This is Jordan Goodman, America's Money Answers Man, and I'm looking forward to joining with you on the Savvy Dentist Program.
Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Savvy Dentist Podcast, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Our guest today is known as America's Money Answers Man because he's been answering America's questions about personal finance for over 35 years. He's been Wall Street's correspondent on Money Magazine for 18 years, a regular financial analyst for NBC for 9 years, Marketplace Radio for 6 years, and a whole lot more. He's written a whopping 14 books, including Fast Profits in Hard Times, Master Your Debt, The Ultimate Guide to Student Loans, and a heap more than that. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Jordan Goodman to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. Jordan, how are you today?
Great to be with you, Jesse.
Fantastic. Look, thanks so much for taking the time out of your day to come and hang with us.
I've sure.
been really looking forward to having a talk to you about money and all things that matter around that for a little while now, and I've been following your stuff online for some time as well. Before we get into the nuts and bolts about money, I know that this is a long history in finance. I'm curious to just understand, how is it you've been around that kind of journalistic area for so long? What fascinates you about finance?
Well, my mother was a big investor, and I started really in my teens. And I was an entrepreneur from age 12, I guess she was. I'll just tell you a quick story, Jesse, of my first kind of entrepreneurial slash journalistic career. I used to write in Massachusetts in America's called Cape Cod, and it's, you know, kind of a tourist place and so on. So we had a house on Cape Cod. So I used to write for the Cape Cod Times, the local paper, and I would hang around the newsroom and so on. I just went one day to the printing press area, and there was just a ton of newspapers sitting there. And I said to the pressman, you know, what happens with these? He said, well, they're just overrun. We just throw them away. I said, oh, okay. So there's my supply. And then I went down to the boats. There are ferries that go over to Nantucket and Martha's Vineyard, these two kind of nice islands there. And I said, there's my demand. So at age 12, I used to pick up the papers in my bicycle, go down to the ferries, sell the papers on the ferries. By the time the ferry had gone, just pretty much everybody had a newspaper. I'd go back and pick up more papers. So I put supply and demand together. And by the end of the day, I'd made maybe $200, you know, 50 cents at a time. And my hands were black with ink, but I was an entrepreneur starting at age 12. So I guess that's kind of a foreshadowing of my career, which has been journalistic, but also kind of entrepreneurial.
I really love that. Again, it's that whole ability to spot an opportunity and make the most of it. And what I especially love that about is the cost structure, zero.
Exactly. 100% profit margin. Right?
That is fantastic.
And the pressmen were happy because they didn't have to throw the papers out anymore. So I made them happy too.
Yeah, everyone's a winner. I love that. So, as I said, you've been around finance for a lot of time now, and specifically, we were talking off air a moment ago, you've had a lot of experience talking to many dentists over that particular period of time as well. So I'm curious to ask you, you speak to lots of different people across all different walks of life. In terms of understanding finance and understanding financial literacy and being able to make sensible decisions, where is it that you see people in dentistry or even the broader community, where do you see people kind of coming unstuck with some of these things? Because there's lots of stories of winning, but there's probably 100 more for people not doing as well.
They're not getting to the right habits, Jesse, is what it is. And as you said, I've spoken to quite a few dental groups around the United States and Canada, sometimes for 5 or 6 hours, you know, and really answer all their questions for a long, long time. And they work very, very hard at their practices, but they don't really think about their money very much, or they're just financial advisors, which may or may not be a good thing. They're very confident in their dentistry, and that to some extent carries over to their money decisions, but they don't have the money knowledge to make the right decisions. So I just find they get into the wrong habits, and we're going to hopefully talk about a lot of these things today. Student loan debt. A huge amount of dentists have a lot of student loan debt. Earning higher yields on their money in various ways instead of keeping it sitting around in cash. Paying mortgages off much faster than they would normally be doing in the right habits. There's just a lot of things that people can do that they don't know about. I've every time I talk to one of these dentist groups, they say they never teach us this stuff at dental school. It's all about the mouth and the teeth. And it's not about the business of running dentistry or what to do with the cash flow I have from it. So that's why I come to these groups and love doing it, because they're very smart, but they're not kind of tuned into kind of improving their personal finances.
Yeah, well, it's a really interesting thing because, you know, my whole business is designed to help their practice generate cash flow. But oftentimes these guys are now generating all this cash flow. They're going, my goodness, what do I do with this surplus cash? And that's why I'm so interested to talk to you, because for some people, they do some really good, sensible things with it because they've got those good habits that you speak about. But there are other people who their cash flow increases, so too does their lifestyle. And I think, oh my goodness, there's a bit of a challenge there. But one of the things that I've observed over a couple of decades now, because I'm of that age where I can make some observations over a couple of decades, is it seems to be that some mistakes seem to occur with a certain frequency, maybe not in exactly the same format as the first time, but as human beings, we seem to repeat history a few times. What is it that you see that's happening in the markets now where you might be feeling a bit nervous about or twitching, going, oh, I've seen this before and I'm not sure how this is going to go?
Well, there's kind of two sides to that. There's the very people who are too conservative and people who are too aggressive. Okay. On the conservative side, as you say, a lot of dentists carry a lot of cash, earning nothing these days. And interest rates are going to stay at zero for as far as the eye can see, pretty much. So in many cases, it's negative. If you're in Europe, you get a Swiss CD, they'll give you minus 3% or something like that. So that's, you know, people have too much money in cash earning nothing. And I've got some alternatives for that where they can earn like 8%, you know, quite safely. So that's on the conservative side. And then on the aggressive side, getting wrapped up in trends and fads and manias, I think would be a good word. And obviously the hot one right now is cryptocurrencies. I mean, it's taken over the world. And I know some dentists who are like fascinated by this, and in between appointments they're trading on Coinbase, you know, should they do Bitcoin or Ethereum or Litecoin, and they're in, they're out. It's addictive. It's more fun than gambling in many cases. So I would say there's a little bit on both sides. Some people are too aggressive, some people are too conservative.
Yeah, so the Bitcoin thing is quite an interesting thing. I belong to a couple of forums and there's a whole lot of conversation around cryptocurrency and blockchain technology and you know, all of that. But it's really interesting to me because I'm old enough to remember the dot-com boom and bust. And to me, I'm perhaps completely off the mark, but it feels to me that there's a lot of speculation going on at the moment in that. And I'm just curious about your thoughts around where that might end up, the good and the bad, and perhaps even the ugly.
Well, I mean, it's clearly a lot of speculation. People have no idea about anything. They're jumping into this thing with both feet. That's why the demand has gone up so dramatically. And just recently, Bitcoin's futures started trading in the Chicago futures markets, which kind of legitimized it. And that immediately made Bitcoin go up even more. So it's extremely volatile moment to moment. But the general trend has been up. I mean, it started 2017 at roughly $1,000 a Bitcoin. It's now 17,000, whatever. I mean, by the time this plays, it could be 25,000, who knows what. But it's gone up super dramatically. I don't think there's anything ever in history that's gone up this much, this far, this fast. And it's not only Bitcoin. I mean, these other coins have gone up dramatically as well. So that attracts a lot of people. There's a clear amount of speculation. On the other hand, there is some real use for these things as well. It's not as though it's only a speculative vehicle. Countries, I think Australia being one of them, and Japan and South Korea and others are now saying it's a legitimate way to make transactions, buy and sell things. And because of the blockchain, it's considered a safer way of doing things. So it's good for legitimate purposes. It's also very good for illegitimate purposes, okay? I mean, for example, if your computers get taken over and you have ransomware, you pay it in Bitcoin. So you kind of unblock your computer, but somebody who stole your data. It's unfortunate, but they're going to want, and it's because it's done in a kind of a secure, private, untraceable way. It's a great way to pay ransomware. How about that for an attribute of Bitcoin?
Yeah, well, I think there's a few of us in Australia and perhaps in the United States and around the world as well who've been unfortunate enough to have had that ransomware attack. And yes. It's a problem for sure. So yeah, Bitcoin is going to be used in lots of different ways, I'm sure, and the other coins as well, as you say, the other cryptocurrencies. So
right.
If there is this demand and, as we say, a high degree of speculation, it's easy to get caught up in the mania and the hype and the I suppose, the sheer excitement of it all. But what I've observed around that is that, you know, while people are engaged in that, there's a neglect on fundamentals to a certain extent, not entirely. But where do you see, I know you'll say fundamentals are important, but what are the basic fundamentals do you think that dentists should be focusing on when it comes to personal finance around that and putting focus on? Where should people be focusing their time and energy?
Let's talk about some specific areas of fundamentals. First one is making your cash work for you. And I'm not talking about speculation here. So to keep your cash, and this is both in your business and in your personal life, do not keep it sitting in a bank, checking account, savings account, money market fund, earning zero. Okay, that is a bad thing to do, and you know your money's not going to grow at all. So I'll give you one very simple solution for people to earn 8% quite safely over a one-year time frame, where you can either take the checks automatically or reinvest them back into the fund, something called secured real estate funds. There is a website for that, which is securedrealestatefunds.com. And what they do is they lend money short-term, like a year or so, to high-quality commercial real estate projects all over the place. And then maximum loan-to-value is like 70%. And so they're getting current interest. And then they actually get a participation in the event, in the project. So once it's completed, they actually get a piece of the profit once it's sold as well. Their whole philosophy is what they call forced appreciation, meaning before they invest in a project, they know that what's being done to the project is going to increase its value dramatically. And therefore, it makes sense for the builder developer to pay a high rate of interest for a short period of time. I'll just give you a recent example. There was one that they funded. He had a big house in a university town, and he'd been renting it for many years to two students. He got a loan from the secured real estate fund, renovated the house over a year or so, and now it's four apartments in the same house. So his income pretty much doubled, and the value of the house went up like 50% or more. So he was willing to pay 10% or something for a year to get that done, and he couldn't get a local bank to fund him. So that's what I mean by forced appreciation. What they did to the property made it go up in value, not local real estate values going up and down particularly. So they do that with a widely diversified portfolio in many states, in many kinds of properties like assisted living, medical properties, apartment buildings, just all kinds of different things. And it's worked very, very well for a long, long time. So there's a very simple thing you can do to earn 8% on your money. The only thing, it's not totally liquid. You have to keep it in there for at least a year. But after that, you can get your money whenever you like. So hopefully that's the kind of fundamental thing I like, is having my money work for me, earning 8% instead of sitting in the bank earning nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, so principle number one is to use your cash well. Don't let it sit around being lazy. Put it into something like you've just mentioned, secured real estate funds or another vehicle that is going to give you a return. In terms of other fundamentals, you know, there'd be something around debt reduction, I'm assuming. What are you thinking around
debt? Very much so, yeah. So the biggest debt that most people have is the mortgage. Around the world, this is the biggest debt people have. And it drives me crazy. They don't realize they can pay their mortgage off much more quickly than the traditional 30-year mortgage in America, in many cases 15 years. It actually started in Australia. There's this whole called mortgage optimization strategy, where you use a home equity line of credit, a HELOC as it's called, H-E-L-O-C, where it's a liquid line, kind of a second against your house. And you do kind of a blended strategy where you combine the second with the first, and you use the second to pay off the first, and the end result is you can pay your mortgage off in like 5, 6, 7 years instead of 30 years on the same level of income you've got today. There's a website that can help people with that, which is called truthinequity.com, and they model it for you. You put in, here's my house, here's my income, here's my expenses, and they'll say, okay, based on what you're doing today, it's going to take you 28 and a half years to pay off your mortgage. With the numbers you just gave us, you can pay it off in 6.3 years, whatever the numbers come out to be, and here's how it works step by step. It's a fantastic thing, and a lot of people don't know that exists.
And you've written about that in one of your books, right?
So one of my books is called Master Your Debt, and Chapter 6, which I think I sent you, is actually called Mortgage Free in 5 to 7 Years. I mean, imagine a young dentist who's 35, who's got their mortgage paid off at 40 instead of 65. You know, what kind of a difference is that going to make in their life?
Well, that's a huge difference because, A, on lots of different levels, A, it frees up cash flow. for other uses, but B, there's the whole peace of mind dividend as well, knowing that that debt is done.
Correct. And the difference is you're making progress on the principal every day, as opposed to a traditional mortgage where you make a very small amount of progress once a month. And for many years, you make almost no progress on the principal. Your money is working for you every day instead of working for the bank, basically.
Okay, so we've got two principles so far. We've got using your cash well, making sure it's providing a real return for you as opposed to just sitting in the bank going nowhere. We've spoken about reducing your mortgage, particularly using the line of credit option, the HELOC process, and maybe even paying it off as quickly as 5 to 7 years instead of 30. What would be the third fundamental you think that from a personal finance point of view, dentists really could take advantage of?
Student loan debt is a huge problem for dentists around the world. I mean, in America, people take on $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 in debt. It's just crazy. I remember I was speaking at one of these dentist groups in Nevada, and both the husband and wife, kind of like you, had both gone through dental school. They had $500,000 in debt each. So they had $1 million between the two of them. Just overwhelming. So maybe it's not that bad around the world, but in America it certainly is. So getting that debt under control, because it's changed dentistry because of it's so expensive now. In the past, at least my experience has been, in the past, you kind of went to dental school with, you know, some debt, but not too bad. And you were able to buy into a practice and over time build equity in that practice. And then when the senior dentist would retire, you'd be able to take over and kind of really have built up some equity over a long period of time in a practice. Today, younger dentists have so much debt, they don't have the wherewithal to buy into a practice. And so in many cases, they go work for a dental service organization, DSO. They're an employee. They get a salary. That's nice. But they're not building up the equity in the practice that they did in previous generations. And that's because of the huge burden of student loan debt. So that's a big problem for an awful lot of dentists.
Yeah, and on top of that as well, they're graduating at a time where there's unprecedented competition. So even as an employee, it's harder than it was 10, 15 years ago. And as you say, the barrier to entry for practice ownership is higher than it's been in the past. So how then, if you're graduating into an environment where it's harder to get into your own business, harder to make the same sort of income as an employed dentist, how do you get such a huge debt under control? I mean, that's a lot of debt, $1 million between a couple is a lot of debt to get down. So how do they actually do that?
Well, dentists, as you know, are cash flow machines, but you want to do it in a better way to pay the debt off faster. So two things you could do, at least in America, and this is probably true around the world as well, is you can consolidate. If you have a bunch of different debts and a bunch of different interest rates, consolidate into one at a lower interest rate. And there's a website for that, consolidatecollege.com. There's a whole bunch of programs, and there's some specific ones in America anyway, where if you do something special, say you go and you're a dentist on an Indian reservation, or you know, you do something in an inner city or someplace where it's hard to get dentists, there's something called the income-based repayment program, where they can actually, after 10 years, forgive all your debt because you've done something that, you know, is hard to get people to do. So that's one way of getting the debt handled. Another one is to refinance the debt. Now, I find a lot of people have private loans, federal loans, a bunch of different loans at different interest rates. You can combine them all into one at a rate of typically about 2% at a place called Credible. And their website is credible.com, and then put /money answers. They know it's me that way. You get $200 off your first payment. So it gets you off to a good start there. So they have it's like a clearinghouse of about 5 or 6 different lenders that have different programs. So you figure out what's best for you. And now you can refinance all that student loan debt at many different interest rates and many different payments into one at the lowest possible rate. And that can help you pay it off quicker. It's not a magic bullet, but I'd rather pay it off at 2% than 5, 6, 7, or 10% as these other loans are.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we've got three fundamentals there. Again, just to reiterate, using cash well, reducing your mortgage, and then reducing your student debt. As people then graduate and get into work, Jordan, you know, they're going to have some funds to invest. And one of the things that I spoke about just a moment ago was getting caught up in fads and trends and you know, whatever's the hottest thing at the time. How do you... I know you're not a financial planner or you're not a financial advisor, but what are your thoughts around setting up a strategic plan to get ahead financially when it comes to personal finance? And yes, there might be a place for doing some work in cryptocurrency, and I don't want to sound like I'm, down on that, but I don't know that that's the entire strategy in and of itself. How do you see a strategy developing or developing some rules or some habits around money that help people get ahead?
The crypto is the fun money. That's the money you, if you lose it, it's not going to affect your life at all. Okay. It should not be the main, that's the cherry on the cake, not the cake.
Yeah.
The cake is setting things up so automatically the right things are happening. So for example, setting aside savings that's going to be growing for you automatically. Now we talked about the security or real estate fund as a way to get 8%, but obviously you want exposure to stocks as well, which have done extremely well globally, you know, for quite a few years and probably will continue to. The easiest way for most dentists to do that would be index funds. Just match the market at very low cost. Chances are pretty good you're going to beat a lot of other actively managed funds. And because your costs are a lot lower, you're going to come out ahead. Set it up so automatically you're putting 1,000, whatever it is, automatically into these index funds. Do some blue chip ones, medium size, small size, and international. Those four alone, set them on automatic pilot and you're going to do just fine.
Yeah, and is there a ratio around that, or is it, you know, do you evenly split them, or is it?
I do it a quarter each. Yep. I do a quarter each, just to make it simple.
Keep it simple. Just do that month
in,
month
out. And keep it automatic. Keep it automatic, because otherwise, there's a lot of what I call wishful savings. Oh, at the end of the month, this money's going to show up, and I'll invest it then. Well, it tends not to happen. So, if you make it automatic, it's savings that actually happens as opposed to wishful savings.
Yeah, so it's the old pay yourself first routine, right?
Right. Yep. Absolutely.
Okay. So what other habits are really helpful habits for dentists to get into as they're managing their personal affairs?
Well, financing your practice in a good way. I find a lot of people don't get good loans when it comes to financing their practice. They go to banks. Banks like inventory. They like widgets they can seize if something goes wrong. And dentists they're not going to take your implements. That's not going to do them very much good. You know, they're really investing in you and your clientele and the practice you built up. So in many cases, you have to go to alternative lenders to get decent rates, because traditional banks, there's no inventory to seize. They get really nervous and they make it really hard to get a loan. So fortunately, there's a whole world out there now of kind of clearinghouses to help people get loans for small business that didn't exist in the past. There are people willing to invest in small businesses, hedge funds, family offices, all kinds of different things. And, you know, that can make a big difference. So you should do that. And now there's a place that can actually help you do that, which is called corporatelendingsolutions.com. And so they will look at your situation and then evaluate you, kind of vet you, think of it that way. And then you apply to different lenders. And the chances you're going to get a much better loan that way.
Okay. So again, it's just about making sure you got the right kind of loan for the right kind of situation. And you're not paying more than you ought.
Exactly. So I just find a lot of people go to traditional banks. It's not the best place to go. So there's a solution that can help you right there.
Yeah. So in Australia, we have some specialist lenders around healthcare and finance, which generally do quite well. But I'm not sure if those facilities exist over in the United States, or, you know, we've got a lot of listeners around Southeast Asia and Japan as well. So again, perhaps it's worthwhile investigating the local landscape and see what options are out there for you. But again, the principle is making sure that you're not being stitched up and having to pay more than you need to for a loan
right.
to practice. And that's
just, and
that's
giving you a hard time. It's not only paying more, but making it very, very difficult to go through the process.
Yes, indeed. Well, banks have a tendency to want to do that at every opportunity. And that seems to be their business model.
Right.
Jordan, one of the things I just want to come back to is you spoke earlier, started our conversation with a story about your entrepreneurial journey, you know, with the papers. And one of the things that I've observed in dentistry, as I alluded to earlier, is it's a very competitive landscape at the moment. There's corporatization of dental practices, the insurance companies really being actively involved in provision of dental care, either through direct ownership of practices or preferred provider schemes, as we call them here in Australia.
Right. Uh-huh.
The entrepreneurial mindset in dentistry never really needed to come out previously. You know, in days gone by when I graduated, graduated on Friday, by Monday you could walk into a job and you'd be fairly busy and doing okay. These days, dentists need to be a little more entrepreneurially mindful of how they go about their business. What sort
right.
of entrepreneurial skills do you see the best dentists that you've come across employing? What sets them apart in terms of their mindset?
One of the big things, social media. That's really the way it's going today, is to attract new patients. They want to know, it's not just about the teeth, it's about the relationship. And you can put that across. There are places that will help you find dentists that show a video of you and your staff and your facilities and kind of what you're about as a dentist. I mean, anybody can kind of clean your teeth, but do you really care, and what kind of issues do you deal with? You can put that across pretty well on social media. So that's one area I think dentists, maybe some of them are starting to learn about it, but a lot of others have not really done that. And they should learn to get out there on Twitter and Facebook and kind of get the word out. And that's the way people acquire new patients these days.
Okay. So being astute with the marketing and understanding the latest channels and how to utilize them for best effect.
Right.
So what other things do you see, again, because you've spoken to loads of dentists over the years, again, just from a thought process point of view, what do you see the successful dentists really contemplating, thinking about, strategizing about? Are they thinking about exit strategies? Are they thinking about maximizing cash flow? Are they thinking about increasing the multiple of their business? What sort of things do you see them considering as they go through their journey?
Well, I would agree with you. This whole idea of insurance companies and the battle, and the insurance companies keep combining to get bigger and bigger. And it's hard if you're depending on what the insurance company will pay. In many cases, it's not close to enough to covering your costs. I see a lot of dentists say, I'm just opting out. I'm just going to charge what I think is the market should bear. And I'm not going to be limited by what the insurance companies are willing to pay, which just seems to be less and less. You got to be good. You got to have real loyalty from your patients to pull something off like that. But I think that's a good strategy for a lot of people. Yes, older dentists, I think who they're going to sell out to. If you've built up equity with your patients over a long period of time, that's worth a lot to somebody else. Now, it's not instant. You got to bring other people in and introduce them. It's a whole kind of a transition process. But you want to cash in on that equity you built up over a long period of time. And a lot of dentists don't think about that until it's too late. You don't want to start that process when you're in their 70s or something. You know, start it when you're late 50s maybe, and then have a whole transition process so it goes smoothly. And then typically you're going to have a payout, not all up front, but maybe over 5 years or so to get that equity out slowly, which is good tax-wise. And it means that the buyer of the practice wants to keep you involved as well. So that's probably the best way to do it.
Yeah, cool. So just moving on to, I suppose, a more, I suppose, global view of finance at the moment, because we've kind of dived into, I suppose, if we look at the roadmap versus the Google Earth view, just to come up to the Google Earth view for a moment, where do you see the trends going at the moment, Jordan, in terms of the markets, business in general? Are you feeling optimistic about what the future has in store for us, or are there any little red flags?
Yeah, the red flag is a war with North Korea. Okay, I mean, that would put all the bets off, and there's a lot of bellicose talk going on both sides. We do not need a new third world war with nuclear weapons going off. That would be what economists call a black swan. Okay, it's like an event out of the blue. So we hope that doesn't happen, but it could. I mean, that's the only really big negative thing. But except for that, we have global growth going on around the world. I mean, things are going really well in China and India. United States is with tax reform and it's booming stock market. Even Europe's coming back in many ways. So there's kind of this global coordinated growth spurt that's got a lot of momentum right now. So I'm very optimistic about the overall global situation, and it's feeding on itself. So ex a war, North Korea or Middle East, I suppose, possibly as well, I think I'm really quite optimistic.
I think all of us who have been around for any decent amount of time could probably say we're all a bit sick of war. It's been going on for a long time. So it'd be nice to see an end to that for a long, long time as well. So if the trends are looking good and things are moving in the right direction in terms of growth, again, coming back to the fundamentals we spoke about earlier, using cash, reducing debt, mortgage and student debt, and putting aside some savings, where are the opportunities going to be, do you think? I know that's a crystal ball, and I realize that crystal balls aren't perfect, but if you were to think about where those growth opportunities particularly lie,
sure.
What do you see as the potential opportunity for people, you know, listening to the program?
So as far as investing, artificial intelligence is clearly going to transform many businesses, lots of ways to play that. Robotics is coming in many different areas, and jobs that people didn't want to do or couldn't do as well are going to be done by robots. biotechnology, all kinds of things in the biotech area, new amazing drugs coming of all types. So things like that, I mean, 3D printing, there's just a whole bunch of new technologies that are really revolutionizing the world. I'll tell you, there's a specific fund that anybody in the world can buy. You get them all in one place. It's called the Exponential Technologies Fund, and the symbol for that is XT on the New York Stock Exchange. They have the 200 fastest-growing companies in the world, all over in many different industries, where they're growing exponentially. Both they're growing exponentially, and they're helping other companies grow exponentially, as opposed to incrementally. And that came public at about $20 a share a year and a half ago. Last I looked, it's like 35. I mean, it just kind of steadily keeps going up. But there's one investment you can make where you're playing the top 200 companies in the world in every area of economic growth that we just talked about: artificial intelligence, cloud computing, driverless cars, robotics, 3D printing, on and on it goes. All these revolutionary technologies in one place.
I think one thing's for sure, Jordan, is that we're in for an exciting time with all those technologies. Now, I've been listening to people like, you know, Peter Diamandis speak and whatnot, and certainly, yeah, you know, the way the future is going to be in 20 years' time is going to be vastly different from what it is today.
And things are being disrupted, and you want to be a disruptor, not a disrupted, I guess you might say.
Absolutely, and that's going to happen in dentistry too. There will be changes in dentistry that will disrupt the way that we do things. So I think for those listening to the program, I think it's really good to be abreast of those trends and be thinking, well, what does this mean for us? Where are the opportunities? But equally, where are the risks? What are the potential things that could blindside us and knock us off our balance if we're not prepared? So I think having a good look at those trends is not just good from an investment point of view, but it's also good from a business point of view, where you go, yeah, this could be really good for us, or equally, this has got potential to be a little bit tricky. So how do I get ahead of the curve and stay ahead of the curve?
How could I be disrupted? I mean, just what's happened in the U.S. market, we talked about young people joining dental service organizations instead of building their own practice. That's a big change in the whole structure of the business of dentistry, and I think it's going to continue that way. You get more and more business practices being consolidated into these large DSOs, basically. I don't think that's going to stop anytime soon. And the pressure from insurance companies not reimbursing as much, all these things just kind of the big keep getting bigger on both the insurance side and the practice side.
Yeah, I completely agree as well. And so there's opportunity in that as well. So I think wherever there's change, there's opportunity. I think it's just looking for those. Hey, Jordan, we've covered a fair bit of territory today, and I'm really tremendously grateful to you for sharing your wisdom and insights. What I would like to just wrap up our conversation with is, if we were to think about a couple of pieces of wisdom, if we're going to have the gospel according to Jordan, you know, when it comes to finance and investing, what would be a couple of things that you'd like to leave people with as they go about their day?
Well, there's one key word to make your business successful, and that word is leverage. And by leverage, I do not mean debt. I mean leveraging your expertise, your finances, your relationships with those of others. Okay, you can only do so much yourself as a solo practitioner. But if you leverage your vendors, your clients, meaning referrals to other people, maybe you even within your town, you can get together with other dentists and do things cooperatively. That's the key to making your business really grow. A lot of entrepreneurs, and particularly solopreneurs, think they've got to do it all themselves. Well, there's only so much you can do as an individual.
Yes.
And by leveraging your expertise, knowledge, contacts, finances with others, there's no limits to how much you can grow.
So the key for growth is leverage, and it's not just financial leverage. Okay, excellent. Jordan, as I said, you've been tremendously generous to take some time out of your day and share your insights and wisdom. For people who want to find out more about what you do, the best place would be to go to www.moneyanswers.com. Is that correct?
Moneyanswers.com. I've got all kinds of resources and links and videos and podcasts. I do my own show called The Money Answers Show, which goes back a long way. You can listen to those shows. I take emails from people, so I just love to help people all over the world at moneyanswers.com.
Yeah, look, that's a fabulous resource there. I've been trawling through your site now for quite a time, and it's just a treasure trove of goodies there. So for anyone listening there, I'd really recommend you go and have a poke around, because there's so many things there, so many resources and so many cool things that give great insight and learning. So I'd really commend it to you. Jordan, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. We really appreciate you taking the time, as I said earlier, and sharing your wisdom and your insights. And we're looking forward to catching up with you around the traps.
Very good, indeed. Thank you so much, Jesse. Appreciate it.
Thanks, mate. I really hope you enjoyed that episode of the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Jordan Goodman. He shared tons of wisdom, tons of insights, and I know that you've been taking some great notes, or at least I hope you have, because you'll want to go back and reflect on those learnings and put them into practice today. As always, get the advice from your advisors that makes sense for you, and make sure you take action on the things you've learned, put a plan together, and work with your professional advisors to get the best outcome for you. Have a great day, and we'll see you next week on the Savvy Dentist Podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.